Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My guest today is Jeremy Ray. Jeremy is the superintendent at Biddeford School, Dayton School, Saco School in Maine, and also they provide an educational service center that serves speech-language pathology for little ones and also school psych services. Jeremy, thank you so much for being here today. It's great to meet you and see you here.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for inviting me to be on your podcast.
Appreciate that. I would love for you to give us some information about you and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. So I am a resident of Maine. I've always lived in Maine my entire life, originally from coastal Maine in the Bar Harbor region. Grew up in a fishing family, but education was important to our family, and so I went into the teaching profession and eventually found myself in administration. I've been superintendent here in Biddeford for the last 13 years, sharing services with Dayton for 11 of those years, and now 4 of those years with Saco Schools. Have a wife who's an educator and a couple of children at home.
Nice. Very nice. Beautiful area. Maine is absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. So what would you say is your biggest challenge right now in education?
Well, I would say right now in education, some of the biggest challenges that we face from a central office point of view, one is hiring. Hiring is extremely challenging.
Right.
Just whether it be from teachers to speech and language to psychologists, any of those specialized paraprofessional positions, that is something that is extremely challenging for our office and for our principals, because I think they go to bed every night looking to see what the subs in their building is like, and then they do the same thing as soon as they wake up in the morning. And then I think the other piece is for our teaching staff, just the change in the needs of students who are coming to school without services or behavioral needs. It has been, I would say, fairly drastic for us over the last several years. We're a school department in Biddeford that's 60% poverty rate. And about 23% of our students access special services. And we're just seeing a lot more need. And from that need also becomes the, kind of the economic piece of a major increase in homelessness based off high rents and lack of affordable housing.
Yeah. It's amazing. We used to think 13% utilization was high, and now it's like you're talking a quarter of your school almost. That's just really, it's astounding to me. Having been in education for a long time too myself, it's just wow, and there's never enough of us, is there?
No, and that seems to be the piece, is that, trying to figure out how you balance the needs of your students and the needs of your staff. And then you here in Maine, we're very reliant on property taxes to fund that piece. And trying to balance all of that out for affordability is very challenging in these economic times.
Yeah. So what would you say is one of your biggest successes? We talk about the difficulties. What are one of your biggest successes? Because I know you have them.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of successes here. As we look at, as a district, the amount of our high school students who tend to participate in activities after school, we call that a pretty big success, because we see that high participation as students who are invested in their learning and being part of a bigger community. We look at the successes. We're lucky enough here to, on campus, have a regional vocational center. And over the last several years, we've grown that student body from about 300 students to over 500 students.
Wow.
With adding new programs, a new addition that was paid for by a grant. So really looking at some of those things have been really, really important for us. I'd say the other piece that when we look at our younger age, we have, and we're one of the few districts that has fully supported in all three of our communities what we've called resiliency coordinators in our schools. And they work with families to be kind of a liaison between the school and the family and with the kiddos to really try to build a greater attachment to the school. They're not necessarily a guidance counselor or a social worker, but someone who can build that connection with families, help them trust schools, be as a someone who serves as a conduit for communication, and then also making sure that we are informed and understand some of the childhood traumas that the students bring to us at schools and try to work our way through that.
So how long have you had that program?
So we've had that program for 5 or 6 years where we have, you know, really invested in trying to think about how do we have kids break down those barriers, understanding that many of our kids come to school with these high ACE scores, and trying to get it so that we understand the baggage that kids bring into school and meet them where they're at. And it's been a very successful program in all of our schools to build a greater school attachment.
Is that something that came out of the pandemic 5 or 6 years ago, I think, 2020?
Yeah. We were kind of right before the pandemic kind of dabbling with that. And then once we came out of that, we the boards in the communities were committed to make sure that we were providing extra supports for kiddos. And it's pretty monumental to think about those programs that typically run off grants where our communities have said, no, this is essential. We want taxpayer dollars behind it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, so I heard stories about kids just disappearing, getting lost, and not, you know, nobody knew where they were or what was happening. It's just during the pandemic, that was just tragic. And I love that you have made that a priority for your students. So what kind of, do they have to have a certain, like, education, or the people that are doing that, what is their... Is there a certification that goes with it? I'm just curious about how you make that work.
Not a certification. We have been flexible enough to allow 3 different certifications to fill the position, either someone with a guidance or social work degree, or someone coming directly from the classroom. Because we felt that especially people who had been in the classroom teaching and having that connection with teachers, where it can be very frustrating to think about some of the behaviors in your classrooms or the emotion kids are thinking, and having someone who's actually set in that same chair as a teacher to support them work through that. And it's also kind of served in some ways as a little bit of a coach for new teachers when they've come into positions and thought about setting up routines or meeting and learning about students. And then one of kind of the big initiatives that these people in the schools have is doing something called Some Days, where each student is kind of granted their some day in school, I would like to, and they make this kind of small request or something that they can look forward to. And it's the role of the resiliency coordinator to set those up.
Nice.
And so that's something that parents really get involved with and enjoy seeing. And then each student gets to kind of fulfill that wish at school, hoping for greater buy-in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're giving them a long-term goal. That's fantastic. I love that so much. You know, so much of what we as adults do, and, you know, we talk about goals and goal setting, and you're teaching children to do that really early on. That's fantastic. So do they start, like, will they follow these children, like, from kindergarten all the way through, or how do you have the program set up that way?
So it will... what it will do is they're school-based, and so they'll transition on to a new resiliency coordinator in each school. And they have a lot of transition meetings themselves. But the workers, what it also does is it gives the resiliency coordinators, when we're dealing with certain families, it really gives touch points for our principals, for our teachers and others, for them to look at some of the challenges that a family have and coordinate amongst the schools because there are different children in each schools. And it's just been a great program for us.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds fabulous. It really does. So this is the time of year probably where you're talking about graduating them from elementary to middle school to high school and so
correct.
On.
Yeah. All those transition talks happen this time of year.
Right now. Yeah, I get that. And what do you think has been the best outcome that you've seen from this program?
I think the best outcome, and I know that this sounds really simple, but when you talk with parents in the community about anything, school related, you run into someone in the grocery store or at a sporting event, et cetera, and the parent can then say, hey, my kid had a someday about X. Mm-hmm. It's just a great jumping off point to a positive conversation about school engagement that can then lead to other challenges or other questions about things that are going on. But you really can always draw back to that positive experience that they had. And I think that just helps break down some of the barriers about all the things that go on.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to switch topics on you just a little bit because you talked about hiring early on and how that is a challenge. What are some of the ways that you guys have, I know you probably don't have a perfect answer to this. I don't think anybody does. I've been, like I said, a therapist for 31 years and there's never enough of us. But how have you managed and dealt with some of those hiring issues, cause we never want kids to go without services, right?
Yeah. So, one is just retooling recruiting, and seeing that being more of a full year job than traditional. 10 years ago, we would be gearing up just April through June. And now it's 24/7, 7 days a week. If you have a lead, you need to act on it.
Right.
A lot of our paraprofessional positions in the summertime, we try in the summertime to have an employee make contact within 24 hours of application submittal. Mm-hmm. Seems like you can't move fast enough during those times. From our standard job fairs and everything everybody else does, one of the unique partnerships that we formed during COVID and during the pandemic was working with our local universities on a mentor and internship program where we actually took college graduates here in the district who would have been doing their student teaching and paid them at a daily rate, like a substitute, to be with us all year long. And we sometimes built classrooms that would have slightly more students and this college graduate partnering with a teacher in it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we had two smaller classrooms that worked together, with one being led by the intern. And so we really tried to build a model on that. And what is unfortunate about that program is that when we had all of our COVID relief funds, mm-hmm. we were able to fund this in a very good way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of dried up. And it's really disappointing because we were basically, people had a full year tryout.
Yeah.
And we were able to land them into a position, especially in a situation where superintendent of three different districts, we were able to call on each other and say, hey, while we didn't have a third grade opening in this school, I did have a fourth grade in this school. And our principals were able to share the experiences and recommendations, and the people still felt like they were within the system. Mm-hmm. And it was really positive. I would say our next venture on hiring is just based off the cost of affordability for apartments. We really need to start thinking about how we get into housing for new employees. That's going to be our biggest next challenge.
And isn't it interesting, you end up doing social work and you end up doing housing and you end up all of these pieces that come together. I know for Lighthouse, it is not, you said the same thing that I said, you know, it's like we are constantly hiring. We never stop because it's just, there's such a huge need and it doesn't, you know, we'll take them when we can get them sometimes, just, you know, the demand is so high. So.
Yeah, I think about how 10 years ago when someone might have said to you at a business meeting or a Rotary Club meeting, hey, I've got a family member who's moving to town and might be looking, and you were kind of like, oh, geez, you know. And now it's like, take the name, take the number.
Get it right
please
now.
Have them get in touch
pen?
With me.
Yeah, exactly.
If they say they're a special ed teacher, an SLP, like line up the Zoom immediately.
Exactly.
And I think that's the other piece is, like all of us, used to have the practice of everything was an in-person interview and you always met with the superintendent in person before the job. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like it's principals saying to, or directors saying to me, Jeremy, can you please Zoom with this person this afternoon and get an offer out?
Right.
And that's what we do.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I sign all of our contracts for all of our therapists, and boy, those come out. I sign them that day. They just have to. You just cannot wait because there's 5-6 people behind me waiting. You know, same
correct
for you guys. You know, waiting to snatch them up, and you don't want to lose good talent. You want really good talent because, you know, we don't want to put. Excuse the expression, but butts in seats. I don't want just butts in seats, you know. We used to, and when I worked in the hospital, it was the nose test. If you put the mirror up to their nose and they're breathing, are they breathing? You know, that's not what we want. We want people that are top talent for our kids, you know. They deserve that, and we just it's such a hard position sometimes. And
it is.
We just Exactly. So give me a little bit, as our last little bit, because we're almost out of time, I wanted to touch on the Education Service Center.
Yeah.
I know we talked about that when you and I spoke the first time, and I just wanted people to get a little bit more about what that is for you guys, and then we'll go.
Yeah. So we have a collaboration between Biddeford and Dayton that started just before the pandemic, where we were struggling to service 3- and 4-year-olds with speech therapy. And our child development services came to us and said, hey, would you look at exploring through this regional center that you have taking on speech therapy and helping us solve some of the backlog? And that's what we did. And we started with 6 or 8 speech therapists and really worked in concentrating on the area, particularly the areas that we serve, because we knew those kids would be coming to our schools without service. Mm-hmm. And so we've been doing a lot of that work of kind of contracting throughout the state, saying to ourselves, there's a lot of companies out there that contract, but they need to be run by educators. And so that is what we did. And then after the pandemic, the Department of Education said, have you ever thought about doing your same model, but in a greater part of the state, looking at rural areas with psych services? And we hired a team and worked through all the challenges that came with that to provide support for school districts across the state that have trouble hiring. Being in the southern part, we're pretty lucky that people want to be in this part of the state. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to tailor kind of job descriptions to serve kiddos. It was a problem. It was an exciting problem. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we're the people to solve it.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for your time. This was a great conversation. Where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about you or your schools?
So they should go to the Biddeford School Department website at biddefordschools.me or saccoschooldepartment.org or dayton schooldepartment.me.
There you go. Good.
There's 3 of them there.
Yeah. You got quite a bit on your plate, it sounds like. But it sounds like you're managing it with flying colors. So thank you so much for your time once again. And I just have really enjoyed hearing all that you're doing.
Great. Well, thank you for reaching out. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. It's good to highlight your schools.
Yes, absolutely.